saw this picture with a person with a banana taped to their face during this time of COVID. And I thought that was kind of funny. So why do they have a banana taped to their face? Well, the order that came down from the city managers was saying that they wear a mask or a covering or a banana on their face. So make sure you check your spell check. They changed it after they saw it, a bandana, but somebody put it and their people were wearing bananas walking around. It's not a dad joke. It would be pretty funny, but that was somebody else saw it and they just said, hey, we're going to wear a banana. We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, you know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and had been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For our appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. We never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from men, nor from you or anyone else. And we're looking at verse 3. For our appeal does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. As people come to become a Christian, I would love for them to have the complete knowledge of the Bible. 100%. There is no secret handshakes. There is no higher Christian than anyone else. We are the same. We are brothers and sisters. It does not say that we are fathers or mothers, but we are brothers and sisters, equals. We are the same. Now, there are different jobs in the church, but it does not make one higher than the other. As elders of the church, we have more responsibility. But who do we answer to? Two. We answer to God, and we answer to you. If there's something that needs to be explained, needs to be asked, find an elder. It should not say, you should just trust me. Doesn't matter. Just trust me. Again, that's where you stop and say, you need to verify that. And we answer to God to make sure that we are handling his word and his church, not our church, his church, his bride properly. There have been many errors that have been out there. Let's go to the book of Acts. Book Acts 15. Acts 15:1. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some of the other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. Verse 5. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. Go to verse 9. Well, verse 8, God, who knows the heart and showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe that it is through grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. That was one error. Turn a couple pages over to Acts 18. Acts 18, 24 through 26. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. It's not that he was making any errors, but he knew the scripture and they want to explain it more accurately. The reason that I had the reading from 1 Corinthians 15, because this is one of the earliest creeds out there. It was taught to Paul so that from the very beginning, before Scripture was written down, before any of the New Testament was written down. The Scripture that Paul talks about, that Christ died, had to die, and buried, and raised again, was in the Old Testament. Nothing in the New Testament. It was in the Old Testament. Paul got this from the apostles. This is something they passed down. And from some of the readings that they had, some of the scholars say that this was written less than 20 years before any of the Gospels. It was 20 years after Christ was crucified, because it talks about some of the men that saw this, that were witness to this, are still alive, even though some have fallen asleep. That's what we're trying to do. We are trying to teach you everything possible to hold Scripture in our hands, because it is valuable. And go to Acts 8. Just skip back a little bit, just in Acts. We're kind of stick a little bit here in Acts today. Acts 8. And this story has to do with Simon the sorcerer. At one time, he was a big deal. Now, in some time, the man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city, magic, and amazed the people all of Samaria. He boasted he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." Then he heard the word of God. He heard the word of God, and he saw, when the apostles heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Peter and John placed their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Simon, again, still didn't understand. He wanted to walk around and start placing hands on people so they received the Holy Spirit. Doesn't work that way. It's God who calls. It's God who gives the Holy Spirit. He wanted to do this also to still make a name for himself. He saw this. He followed him around, and he thought, "This is so great. This is awesome. I can do this, and I can be someone great." The act of simony is named for Simon, and it is paying for a position or influence in the church. You look up on the internet, and you'll find that there have been plenty of scams in the church that people will infiltrate into the church as financial advisors. And they will tell you things that are just extremely too good to be true. We can get you 25% return on an investment. Most of them ended up being pyramid schemes, and a lot of people lost a lot of money. That will not happen in this church. That will not happen. There are people who, well, you're going to find it in larger congregations, mega churches, that people will join so that they can have a greater influence. They find someone, the person all of a sudden becomes an elder or becomes somebody important in the church. And they said, what do you do? Well, I'm an investor. I'm a builder. I sell a car dealership. Well, the Christians will sit there and say, you know what? I want to work with this guy. This guy's a Christian. I'd rather a Christian benefit from my money than anyone else. I'll go buy a car from them. I will have them build my house. I will have them manage my money. Because I would rather have a Christian benefiting from this work. And that's usually where the scam falls in. The person may not really be a Christian. They're just trying to get more influence over your money, over your life, and they have more people after them. The crucifixion. Even in the Bible, it talked about when the soldiers went to the Pharisees, to the Sanhedrin, after Jesus rose from the dead, and they said, just say that you fell asleep and the disciples stole the body. Another error. They wanted to sit there and say, it really didn't happen. Here's an error. We know it did happen. Coming into the 20th century, other errors came up, they said, other motives. That one of them was that Jesus only passed out on the cross. They crucified him. After beating him half to death, and they crucified him, he only passed out. And they took his body, and they put it in the grave. So in the nice coolness of the grave, Jesus woke up on his own after bleeding halfway out. Then he apparently rolled the stone away, overpowered the guards, then walked less than a mile, a Sabbath day walk, into Jerusalem, and appeared to the disciples. I think you have to have more faith in Jesus raising from the dead to believe that story, that he just passed out. They said that the centurion who stabbed him in the side and testified that he stabbed him in the side was the centurion whose servant was healed. He was already a follower of Jesus. The other error that came up was that there was a substitution crucifixion. It really wasn't Jesus, that it was Judas that was nailed to the cross. I don't know how that happened. I couldn't explain that. Because why would Jesus' mother be there crying at the cross? All the other followers, they would sit there and say, oh, that's just Judas. And they would take Jesus and walk away. Or the other one was that they were mistaken and Jesus is still in his tomb. That when they came up, when Mary Magdalene came up, she mistaken the risen Savior for a gardener. Some people will say, well, that actually was a gardener. And he was tired of people coming to the tomb, trampling over his stuff. So what he did was he rolled the stone away, took Jesus out, and moved him to another tomb so he wouldn't trample over his garden. Again, you have to have more faith in that than you would in Jesus rising from the dead. If Jesus was still there, we talked about over 500 people were witness to this. Some of them are still alive. We have live witnesses still. If the Sanhedrin knew that they moved the body, they would just drag his body out and say, this is your Jesus right here. End of Christianity. That'd be it. Because he went and rose from the dead. Acts 20. I told you we're going to stay in Acts here a little bit. Acts 20, 30. And this is Paul headed back down to Jerusalem. And he's talking to the elders. Let's go to verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I've never stopped warning each of you day and night with tears. With errors or false motives. Got a phone call many, many years ago. Went to voicemail. I listened to the voicemail, and all I heard was my girl screaming. Happy screams. At first, I didn't know what it was, but happy screams. And I come home, because my Roxanne asked me, she goes, did you listen to your voicemail? And I said, yeah, but I understand it. She goes, okay, don't be mad. What's the first thing that somebody knows you, tells you, don't be mad? What are you going to do? You start getting mad because you know, they know that it's going to make you mad. I go, okay, what happened? Well, the girl's Aunt Carrie, yeah, she got them a pony for Christmas. I was like, oh, could she just like get them a gun or something? I said, you know, they eat. Yeah, I said, where are we going to put it? Well, we can make space. And no, we're not making space. You know, they eat food. I mean, even if you don't use it, they're still going to eat. You still got to take care of them. Okay. Well, how much? $50. What type of animal horse can you get for $50? Don't worry. Nana and Papa saw it. Wait, there were three adults there that saw it? Did it take the time to call us to see if it was okay? Cute and everything, but... So I had someone ask me again. And they said, don't get mad. So the first thing I'm doing, I'm going to start getting mad. Because we were talking about salesmen. And they said, isn't going to church a sales pitch? What? Isn't church, going to church, sort of like a sales pitch? No. No, 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 no. This is free. You didn't pay for it. Not one bit. What is Ephesians 2, 8, 9? You've been saved by grace through faith. It is the free gift of God. Free gift. Not something that you earn, free gift. So I'm not selling you anything. Not one thing. I used to sell things. And you could sell things if you believed in them. If you believed in the product. And if you really believed in it and you used it. And you knew the benefits. It could be good for some people. I'm not selling this. This is not for sale. Not one bit. You do not have enough money. The world does not have enough money to buy this. Not selling it. It is a free gift of God. Free. Men will arise to distort the truth. From your own number, from your own church. That's why as elders, we try to stay vigilant. We get letters in the mail. Some are kind of crazy. People want us to buy into certain things. People want to use this building. Like I told you before, you don't want to associate with people because all of a sudden they all say that Valley Christian. I'm waiting for this to happen. I haven't seen it yet. Promote Holy Mask. Come buy our masks. They're not gold covered or silver covered, but they've been prayed over, they've been blessed, and you will not catch coronavirus if you wear this mask. And for a special limited time only, we have holy water that you can buy and some holy dirt that we prayed over. And if you keep the dirt in your mouth, you actually don't really need to wear a mask, and the dirt will filter out all the coronavirus and anything else, by the way. Don't worry, it's coming. It's coming. Because people will have and start to believe in these things. They will. They will buy into it because we're selling it. We're not selling a thing. It's a free gift of God. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. And if you can't wear a mask, don't touch your eyes. Don't touch your mouth. Don't touch your nose before you wash your hands. Because that's how it's being transferred around. And that's true really with anything. The flu virus. Hepatitis. Cooties. Ooh. A little third grader Calvin knows about cooties and don't want that. Bubonic plague. Had a case up in Colorado recently. But we know that there's been a couple cases every year. Hantavirus. Summertime. Getting hot. You're out there cleaning up your woodshed. You're cleaning up the wood pile. Hantavirus. Out there cleaning in your garden. Tetanus. Everybody's up to date on their tetanus shot? Free gift of God. Can't earn it. Can't buy it. Go to 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Start at verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. Not only are you to correct and rebuke somebody for their error, but you're also to encourage them. So you're not smacking them in the head. You're sitting there. You're correcting and rebuking someone the same way that you would want to be corrected and rebuked. But then it says, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You see it today. You see it today that people will believe anything that they can grasp onto. People typed it in the internet. And I looked it up. And I said, typed in what? It's really hard to say it like this, but who are the richest pastors in the world? And it's a great list, you would think, of a who's who. Ranging anywhere between $20 million a year. $20 million to $150 million is what their salaries are. I am not against that. If God has blessed you with millions of dollars, great. What are you doing with it? Went to a seminar about music. And one of the guys got up there and said, all Christian music is not good. And all secular music is not bad. He goes, but look on where you're spending the money. You're buying a CD for $8 to $10 or off of iTunes or whatever. Where do they take their money? What do they do with their money? A lot of good Christian songs might have false doctrine in it, false teachings in it. Some of the songs we pulled out that we sing, we don't sing anymore because there are some questionable things in there, even some of the older ones. But what do they do with their money? Where does their money go? Some of these places, some of these pastors, probably heard of them, Joyce Myers, Rick Warren, Billy Graham, Creflo Dollar, which I don't know, why would you want, I don't know if I changed my name. I think he probably changed his name to Dollar when he became a pastor. Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, Pat Robinson, T.D. Jakes. But what do they do with their money? I know Billy Graham had the Billy Graham Association, and he had lots of pastors and a lot of people out there that are associated with him. I don't think that money went directly into his pocket. I think it went to the association. I have no problem with people making money. Probably wrote a bunch of books. Joyce Myers, whatever else. Some of the people I had more problems with really weren't American. They were in Africa. And I know I haven't personally been there, but I know the poverty level of those countries that they're in. and they're making $150 million a year. And I hope that they're taking all that money or most of that money and providing services for the communities and for their nation. That would be a great thing. That would be an awesome thing. Where does the money go? I'm not against anybody making a lot of money. But where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Same with the church. What are we doing? Are we being wise with our money? Go out here to the bulletin. See the budget. See where the money is allocated. It is not lining any of the elders' pockets. We are not giving ourselves bonuses. We are not spending money to go out. Well, you can't go out now, but to order in lavish food. We're not. Go to the any other church around here. Look on their bulletin board. Look at these guys. Where do they spend their money? If they tell you. Went to one place that we were paying to go to the school. And we said, kind of got around to the pastor that we'd like to see where the money was going to. Because it seemed like they were nickeling, diming us every moment. And he said, well, before you can see the budget, you need to be a member here for over a year and giving faithfully for the entire year. Our budget's right out there right now. Right now for everybody to see. We have nothing to hide. Do these people have something to hide? Impure motives. Errors. Matthew 7. And you know we're going to Matthew. Most likely it is going to be Jesus speaking. And this is Jesus talking. This is Matthew 7, 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Do you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. You won't know them until you get close to them. You won't know them, really, almost till it's too late. They'll have soothing words to tell you. They'll tell you what your itching ears want to hear. Yet you're good enough. God is lucky to have you. It's usually the other way around. We are blessed to have God. We are fortunate in America to be able to have a Bible in our hands. More than one. Go home and count how many Bibles you have. You hear stories about people being in other countries have a single page of a Bible. Because for the whole village, they got one Bible. And they tear out the pages and they pass it around to other people. They tear out a book of the Bible and they pass it around to each other. And they read it and read it and read it until it falls apart. We are so blessed and fortunate to have more than one Bible in our hands. Jump around one more time. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. 15 and 16. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes in the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. Turn the page back to, again, 2 Peter 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destructions on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. You have different versions of the Bible. You have the Living Translation. You have the King James. You have the New King James. You have the Amplified Bible. You have the NIV. You have the New NIV. But it should jive with our message. It should be the same over and over and over again. Nothing should be hidden. When we're preaching the word, when we're speaking the word, when we're praying, it should line up with what's saying in the Bible. We should line up. The Bible should not line up with us. People who are very intelligent in the world can distort the word of God. Tell you many different things to bend it their own way. Tell you that they are prophets, that they speak for God. I am God's anointed. How dare you question me? Yeah, I'm going to question you. You're messing with God's word. You're messing with my salvation. You are not handling it properly. I say something up here, question it. Paul, Book of Acts, after being chased out, went to Berea. Thessalonica, went to Berea. And he preached the word. And it says that the Bereans were considered more righteous because they searched the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. So the best thing that you hear from any pastor is hearing pages turn. When I say go here, you're turning there, verifying, keeping me on my toes, making sure that you're listening. This is life. This life we're living on this planet is short and momentary. It goes away. Blow out a candle and the smoke just disappears. Because if you think of eternity, this is a very, very short time. What are you doing with this short time depends on what you're going to do with eternity. Nothing that we're saying is springing from false motives or error. We are checking, double checking, triple checking ourselves to make sure that we're handling this properly. Going to rat her out. Linda said, don't be nervous. You're doing good. But you have to be. This is a huge weight. And I want to make sure I handle it properly. Like a waiter carrying all these glasses walking around, and you see how well they carry it and they're moving it around. They don't spill a drop. The same way. You may be good at it, but you don't want to spill a drop. You want to handle it carefully. But be nervous. She told me a story about a teacher who was always teaching, who was still nervous. I would be. Even a waiter walking around, doing really good, haven't spilled a drop in over 20 years, and you got these little kids running around the restaurant, you're going to be nervous. People sticking their feet out, purses out, somebody's going to be fun. No. Nervous. Don't want to spill a drop. Want to handle it carefully. Now, don't walk away and get this wrong. There's nothing wrong with earning a lot of money. Great. Do that. Make more money than anybody else. But if God has blessed you with this, bless other people with it. You have a great job. You can reach people. My little brother got in trouble one time. Not really that much trouble. He was a police officer. He needed to arrest someone. He was polite. He would handcuff him. Yes, sir. No, sir. Watch your head, sir. Put him in the back of the patrol car. Take him down. Book him. Then he had to go to court. One of the defendants got up and said, Your Honor, I'd like to complain. What's that? As I was arrested and I was taken down to court, that this man violated my rights. Well, how do you do that? He was playing Christian music all the way down. He had sermons going all the time, and he violated my rights. The separation of, like, judges looked at him and kind of laughed and said, my brother's going to say something, and the judge just looked in the glass and says, I cannot tell the officer what he can and cannot play. Get out of my courthouse. Bailiff, take him away. Who can you reach? Who can you influence? Don't take away that earning money is bad. But do take away that we hold this book, God's Word, very sacred. And this is what we're going to be teaching on. This is our life right here. This is our guidebook. This is what keeps us on the path. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this great and glorious day. Thank you for your word in our hands, that we are privileged, fortunate, that the government is not taking this away from us. We are blessed that we can read, that we were taught to read. We are fortunate that no one's stopping us at the door, telling us that we cannot come in. Let us pray for those people, your church, our brothers and sisters around the world that do not have that privilege. Pray for them that they are hearing the word from your shepherds, not from false teachers or false prophets. Strengthen them that they can discern the difference between right and wrong, that they hold those people accountable, that they even run them out of town. These are our brothers and sisters who are struggling to hear your word, who are thirsting for the word, not just for a short period of time on Sunday, but every day, that they'll walk miles and miles just to hear your word being preached, and may they hear it without false motives or error. Thank you for the people that are here today, that they continue to be blessed with your word, that they can be a blessing to the people around them, that we can strengthen and encourage each other. Again, as we see the days approaching, that we know your day is coming, that we're reaching as many people as possible. Amen.